Close to 1,000 cyclists took part in the Haleiwa Metric Ride this weekend. That's where we caught up with Executive Director Chad Toniguchi on Sunday. It's been a long ride to get to this point where a cycling culture is growing. Toniguchi says the state is finally going out to bid for construction of a Leeward Oahu bike path after 30 years of inaction. The city is installing and integrating more bike lanes, and the Biki Bike Share program is expanding. But disruptive technologies with bikes and scooters that don't require docking stations are wreaking havoc in cities across the globe. Toniguchi reflects on how far we've come and how fast bike sharing could fall apart.
Well, if anybody would travel outside of Hawaii, they know that in Portland, in New York, in Chicago, I know we're not those places. I think we have a better living environment than those places. But the trend is that those places make parking expensive in order to save the land for people to walk, bike, and drive, and also to encourage people to walk and bike and not just make it so convenient to park. So yeah, it's kind of going uphill still on the parking issue, but I think it's going to come a time when people realize that the streets should not be for parking. That's fourth priority over everything else. Transit should be first, walking, biking second and third, cars fourth, and parking fifth.
Okay, and we are going to have rail, so I know there's a lot of the complete streets idea and getting people to get out and walk and not rely on the car.
Yeah, rail's going to take you the farthest, but to get to there you got to drive and park or bike and park or walk and or catch the bus. And so for the long haul, then you get this efficient, large system of rail. And then to get there and to get from your stop, then you need the small things like walking, biking, biki, buses.
Where do you see the cycling community 5 years from now?
You know, when we had the chance to go to Amsterdam and Copenhagen, which are the greatest biking cities in the world, when we talk about biking, they don't even think about biking as a, they don't call themselves cyclists. They call themselves people who happen at a certain part of the day or stage in their life when biking becomes the primary mode of transportation. But otherwise, you know, they just choose what's most convenient and what's cheaper and what makes sense. A lot of times we heard in Amsterdam, it's faster for me to go by bike and I save money, and I get exercise to boot. That way I get everything done at the same time. Even if my commute might be slightly longer than driving, I'm getting all these secondary benefits, exercise, saving money from doing the same thing. So 5 years from now, I hope we start to get that mentality where it's not about somebody, a driver versus a cyclist, but everybody just choosing the mode that fits them at that time. And hopefully people realize that with global warming, we all got to do our part by basically driving fossil fuel burning vehicles much less, and that the alternatives are actually good for us, right? That by walking and biking, we're actually healthier. So we're keeping the planet healthier, and we're keeping ourselves healthier, and we're keeping the other people traveling on the roads safer, because we get 100 people killed every year on the streets. Most of that is with car or motorcycle crashes. And even when people walk, there's 20 people killed every year by drivers.
Pedestrian deaths.
Pedestrian deaths. And there's 1 to 3 people biking that get killed, and it's usually because a car crashed into them. So greener society, cleaner society, healthier society, more livable place if we drive less and walk and bike more.
So it's really an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, but when you get it, the attitude adjustment is good. So many people I know, I'm going to use his name, Ford Fuchigami. He's the former head of the DOT. We went to this Portland and Seattle workshop to see how they do more walking and biking infrastructure. During that time, we had a workshop that involved riding a bike 2 miles. Ford got winded. He had to stop several times, and he made a resolution right then and there. He was gonna bike more. And so since he came back, he bought a bike. He lost 37 pounds. He looks better. He feels better. And basically, he put some time for himself by biking. He's putting time for himself to get healthy. And
you folks really try and encourage this activity in different ways. You've got the heavy breathers, the competitive cyclists, but then you also have a group that's featured that does adaptive bikes.
Oh, Imua Trikes, they're a nonprofit that make bikes for people with disabilities and give it to them so that they can have a form of mobility and exercise. So that's their Hawaii Bicycling League with city funding has recumbent tricycles that we put senior citizens on so they can ride on our Pearl Harbor bike path. They get exercise. They enjoy it. Some of them buy their own. We teach fourth graders how to bike safely. We teach adults who've never biked before to learn to ride a bike for the first time, and then, you know, they feel so great afterwards. Today we have the Aloha Fun Ride. It's 3 or 6 miles, and it's going to get people to realize that, hey, biking is fun, biking is safe. And when they ride Biki, they'll realize it is fun and safe too, and convenient. And did I say we're teaching drivers too? we are teaching drivers. Roberts Hawaii, they donated their buses to get people living in Kapolei, Kaka'ako, and Kailua to come out to Haleiwa. They donated their buses. And the reason they're doing that is because in 2010, we went to them and said, Robert, you guys have been killing five people over the past 5 years with your bus. You know, somebody walking, somebody biking. Your bus has killed them. Your driver has killed them. Let's change your training. They were totally receptive. Since we did the training with them, that's now 8 years. They have killed nobody. And their drivers are proud, their drivers are happy. And for company business, that's a tremendous thing for their reputation and for their bottom line. So we'll train any car-based organization how to respect and be safer on people walking and biking. So that's hbl.org or get in touch with us. We want to do that. We feel that that's the flip side of teaching somebody to bike safely. We want to teach people to drive safely around people walking and biking.
Right. And then there are these disruptive technologies, and we're hearing from other cities that there are electric scooters that are being dropped off in cities like San Francisco and really just causing a lot of stress because of what's happening with the cycling community and just in general.
Yeah. Well, we've learned through the Public Utilities Commission that we have to regulate public transportation. And Biki is a form of public transportation. And the other, as you term it, disruptive technologies, which are electric bikes and bikes that don't have docks, that they can be left anywhere. Technology enables that. But the problem is that when you have something like Biki, which has tremendous infrastructure costs to set up the dock and to set up a system that works, if you have people who are not in that loop, but they're leaving the bike all over the place, then you're going to have more danger, you're going to have more chaos, you're going to have... Also, Biki is going to have a difficult time surviving financially. So just like the Public Utilities Commission has regulated transportation in other areas, we think they should step in, or the city should step in, or the states should step in to make sure that whatever transportation technologies come in are regulated, that they can survive and continue their investments and not just have chaos. There's examples in other cities where, as a result of the chaos, nobody survives. And then people are left without any public bike share system. And that's not a good result. So there has to be some order, some control, some regulation to make sure a workable system works.
So we've already started the conversation with the city and state saying, hey, look, what's happening. We need to take a closer look at how to prevent the chaos here.
Yeah, we've sent articles and emails to city and state officials highlighting the problem. Right now, we don't have the bandwidth or the resources to be the lead on that. We're hoping that BKI will be the lead because it's in their direct interest to have some regulation. But when the time comes to support a bill at the city council or the state legislature, we'll be there because the alternative is bad. There's plenty of examples of in China and elsewhere of mountains of discarded bikes that are discarded because there are just too many of them, they're unregulated, and you can't support that many bikes with the population who's going to ride. It's just like buses, it's just like cars. There's a capacity limit. We're reaching the capacity for cars on the roads. We gotta put more space for buses and transit on those roads so that people can travel more efficiently. And it's gonna be the same with bikes. If we've got too many bikes that are unregulated, then nobody's gonna survive.
That was Chad Taniguchi talking about what lies ahead for the cycling community. Our partners at Sybil Bede have a story about Lime Bikes, a company that is testing the waters here in Hawaii. May happens to mark Bike Month, and we have links to all the events. You can find that on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.